You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey everyone, Chris Lopez here, and today's date is Friday, December 28th. Now, what is significant about Friday, December 28th? Well, nothing actually, other than the time of year, and that's, hey, we are, what, 3 or 4 days away from 2019, so it's a great time to look at the previous year and then make sure we got 2019 planned out as well. So I actually started doing this about 3 weeks ago, and then the holidays hit and just took me a couple weeks to get things finished, and now I'm getting around to recording this podcast. So today I'll share with you my goals for 2019, but before I jump into that, I want to share an idea with you that actually came to me when I started writing my goals for 2019, and that's to publish an annual book that compiles various investing strategies of investors here in Denver. Now, the working title is called Denver Real Estate Investing Strategies. I know, it's a very creative title, but seriously, that's a working title, but gets the point across. And my whole idea here is to take the strategies that I've published and also about, I don't know, 6 or 8 other people have published for the website, which I've gotten a lot of benefit for myself, and I've talked to dozens of people who've mentioned those strategies or those blog articles, and so they've been very helpful to them as well. And so I was thinking about this, okay, how can I learn more? How can more people out there learn more as well? I said, you know what? A really neat idea would be to take that, take those strategies, take those goals, and turn it into a book. So I'm not going to take those previous strategies that we have published, but I've reached out to a lot of other investors around Denver to get their strategies and their goals as well. So my whole idea here is to crowdsource the book based on and publish in each chapter a different strategy from a different investor around Denver, whether they're investing here or out of state and whatever niche they're in. It's just to compile all these different strategies. So it's a great way for me to learn, for other people to learn, and it's just to share ideas with people so we can all learn from one another. Another reason I'm doing this is because I'm a big believer in writing goals and then publicly sharing goals, because that's helped me accomplish a lot. I know a lot of other people out there have done the same thing, and it's helped them accomplish their goals as well. So I'm inviting anyone out there that wants to write and share and publish their goals and their investing strategy to please do so. Reach out to me, chris@denverinvestmentrealestate.com, and I'll send you an email with the details. And I should have this first book published sometime in February is what I'm hoping for. And then going forward, I hope to build momentum year over year over year and publish volume 2 next year, then volume 3, then volume 4, and update strategies, get more people sharing their strategies. And hopefully in a couple of years, we can build a really neat compilation of different strategies around Denver. So make sure you're on our email list at denverinvestmentrealestate.com to get email notifications about when that book is published and how you can get a copy. All right, so moving on to my goals, I won't go into all the details about, what went well and what did not go well for me in 2018. Other than, you know what, some goals were achieved, some weren't, and a lot evolved throughout the year. And that's how it is for me every single year, and every person I talk to, that's how it is for them as well. So that's par for the course for me. But most importantly, I ask myself, did I make significant progress towards my goals? Am I happy with what I've accomplished? And the bottom line is, yes, I am. 2018 was a great year for me. I'm very happy with it. And I'm just going to take a lot of the same things I was doing and go and start doing in 2019. So before I start going into my goals, I'll give you a quick recap of my investing strategy. It's really nothing exciting, but it works very well for me. So I believe in investing in real estate and the stock market. And the stock market, I do that through my Roth IRA, health savings account, and 401ks are the main ways I do it. And I'm a very boring stock market investor. I used to do a lot of day trading years ago, or I should say I tried to do a lot of day trading and did not work out very well. So I invest mostly in stocks, 90% to 100% of my 401ks and stuff are in stocks, and they're all in index funds. So like S&P 500 or total stock market index funds is where all my stock money goes to. As far as real estate, I take the same approach I do with stock market investing, and that's just to dollar cost average into the market. When I've got enough money, enough cash, and or enough equity from another property to go out there and buy a next property. Now, with that in mind, I want to leverage up as much as possible. So for investment properties, that's going to be 20 to 25% down and just leverage up as much as possible while keeping really healthy cash reserves for, you know, my personal stuff, but also for my real estate investments as well, because cash is king. And whether I go through a speed bump or the market goes through a speed bump, I want to make sure I have cash on hand to ride out any rough times that I may have. I have a very long-term investing horizon. I'm not looking to sell property or make money in a couple years. This is all long-term retirement planning, so 20, 30, 40 years out for me. And I'm going to be investing all in Denver. I have no interest in investing out of state for numerous reasons I've outlined in previous blog posts that I'll link in the show notes. So that is the quick recap of my investing strategy. I will dollar cost average into it. And I'm doing nothing fancy as far as real estate. I'm not doing fix and flips. I'm not doing crazy off-market deals. If something good comes across my plate, yes, I'll certainly take a look at it and hopefully invest in it if I can. But I'm happy just dollar cost averaging in there. Where I'm putting my focus on, my day-to-day focus on where I can, I think, get the most out of my real estate investing is by building up my realtor business, because that brings in cash, it brings in knowledge, and it brings in connections, which is well for my own investing, and it's also well for my clients, so I can really focus on efforts and get a couple of great wins or get a couple of great results by focusing in on that. So for this year, my investing and financial goals. Last year, I talked about a condo I have in Reno, Nevada, and my plan was to figure out what I wanted to do and then take action on it. Well, I figured out what I wanted to do, but I ended up not taking action. Just different things happened in different parts of my life, lots of unexpected things, and that just got pushed down to the bottom of the list. But I will be taking action on this in quarter one of 2019. So I decided to sell the property in Reno, Nevada, or I haven't sold it yet, but I will sell it. And then I'll 1031 that money out here to Denver. So here's the basic recap. I bought this condo for, I think it was $67,000 in 2011. And now it's worth about $240,000, and I have about $38,000 left on the loan. And it's a two-bedroom, two-bath condo in a nice part of Reno. So I was debating on just keeping it as is, or possibly refinancing or pulling out money to buy more property, or selling it. So based on the numbers today, you know, actually, before I even go in the numbers, for my personal investing strategy, I want my property in Denver. This property is outside of Denver, so that's already a big black eye against me keeping that property. I don't have any network in Reno, Nevada, and, you know, having a strong network is really important to me, and I think that's going to be very important over the next 30 years of knowing the right people to call and work with when problems do come up. Because problems will happen, and it's based on how I can handle them. Reno, I have to fly out there, and I know no one. Denver, I can drive here, and I've got a really strong network of people that I can rely on. So like I said, today, the condo is worth about $240,000. Taxes are about $850 a year. Insurance is about $275 annually. Property management is 10%. And I put away 5% in repairs. It's actually been way less than that. And the HOA is like $250 or $255 a month. And market rent is $1,300. So based on today's number, that puts it at right around a 3.6 cap rate with the property management fee. So 3.6 cap rate is nothing to get that excited about. So I can throw a stone and do way better than that out here in Denver. So that is a, you know, between the numbers and the fact that I don't want property outside of Denver are the reasons why I'm selling it. And I'll 1031 the money out here to Denver and then either buy a couple of properties or maybe, you know, a small multifamily. And I might just lean more toward, I'm leaning more towards like a, you know, triplex or fourplex right now, just for simplicity with the 1031 deadline. But I'll keep you guys up to date on there as I sell the property and as I move it out here to Denver. So I should have about $185,000 in proceeds after selling it, after paying off the loan, and after I'm saying about 7% in selling cost. So $185,000 at 25% down leverages up to about $750,000 in property that I can buy. So like I said earlier, that will buy me a couple of properties out here in Denver. So in addition to selling that property and moving it out here, I have another goal, or my next goal is to buy another rental. And this has nothing to do with the Reno property. This has to do with just saving money, which is just, you know, me and my wife saving money from our personal incomes. With the fact that we are doing our mother-in-law house hacking, where our mother-in-law lives in the basement. We've actually rebuilt that whole basement into a full mother-in-law suite, and we're not paying for daycare. So I've talked about that in detail in the past in my hell hacking or house hacking podcast, but I'm estimating it's saving us about $2,000 a month in daycare cost and some shared living expenses. So $2,000 a month is a lot of money. Then throw in some more savings on there, and I'm planning on buying another rental property with that money as well. So hopefully, like I said, my two big investment goals for real estate is to move the Reno property and then to buy another property out here from our savings. Just some other financial goals for this year is to max out our health savings account, our HSA. This year still, in 2018, we switched from a traditional health insurance plan to a health sharing program. It's been on my list to actually do a podcast about what we're doing, because I've really enjoyed learning about it, and we're about 7 or 8 months into having this health sharing plan, and I really like it so far. So Google it for more details, or be on the lookout for a podcast if I do get around to recording about it. But essentially, our premium is about $400 less per month. So it was going to be about $1,000 a month for a traditional health insurance, high deductible plan. And now it's around like $630. So that's a good, just good monthly savings. And effectively, it's given us a lower deductible equivalent, and also allows for an HSA. So I like HSAs because you get to defer the taxes on there. So, you know, you get to defer your income taxes, and there are no income limits for contributing to an HSA. And I think for 2019, the maximum contribution is $7,000. So we'll be looking to fund that fully, because I just look at that as just another part of my investing and holding high cash reserve strategies, because medical and health issues is one of the biggest reasons people go bankrupt and have money issues, you know, in the United States. So the more money I can put away, whether we need it in an emergency, great, or if we don't, great, the money will grow tax deferred. And I haven't quite figured out how much I'll hold on cash and how much I'll actually put into like a stock and bond index fund or ETF. A lot of it just depends on the account minimum and all the fees they charge, and I got to sit down and just figure all that stuff out. So another goal that I talk a lot about is just maintaining and increasing my cash reserves. And my attitude is that cash is king. You've probably heard me talk about that. I do not want to rely on credit cards or lines of credit or HELOCs for times of emergency, because the saying goes, when you need it, you don't have it. And I've actually, you know, 10 years ago, I actually had one of my business credit cards frozen on me. So that gave me a healthy reality check on keeping lots of cash on hand to make sure that I can take care of things when the banks decide to, you know, pull the lines of credit that they gave to me. So for this past year, I actually increased my cash reserves more than I intended. I'll probably keep them a little cash heavy. I just I think it's a very good position for me to be in right now with, you know, young family and just buying more property. I like having, you know, more cash than necessary in the bank. But I did come up with a plan that was very comfortable with me as far as like holding high cash reserves, but also not losing too much out to inflation. Because I mean, great, you can hold $100,000 in a checking account, but you're getting 0%, or maybe you're getting, you know, 0.2% interest rate, which does not keep up with inflation. So the strategy I've put into place is keeping 6 months worth of cash in a savings account, and that's 6 months for personal expenses and 6 months of business expenses. And I'm actually putting that in an Ally savings account. And the last time I checked last month, they're actually paying out a 2%, 2% annual interest. So that's actually really good for a savings account. So if you guys don't have a good savings account, Ally is a great one. And there's a bunch of online savings accounts that are paying right around 2% interest. So they pay that every month. And if I need the money, I can take a check out of there or just transfer it to my checking account. And in 1 to 2 days, it's in my checking account. So that's like my tier one strategy. My tier two strategy is using my Roth IRA as my second level of emergency fund. And in a previous blog article, I discussed a Betterment study, and Betterment's one of those online robo-traders for stock investing, but they did a really good study talking about, you know, should you invest your emergency fund? And basically, they did this study showing that if you keep like 130% of your emergency fund, so if you need $10,000 in your emergency fund, overfund it to $13,000, so put 30% more in there, and then put it in like a 40% stock, 60% bond ratio. And out of all the stuff they did, it showed that you had a high likelihood of always being above that $10,000 mark and actually earning money on your emergency fund. So what I'm doing is I basically look at my Roth IRA as a second level emergency fund because I can pull my contributions out of there tax-free, and hopefully I never have to, but if I need to, great, I can pull money out of there and use it to cover some emergency expenses. So I'm actually putting my about another 6 months worth of money in my Roth IRA, or have another 6 months worth of personal expenses in my Roth IRA, I should say. And I'm doing a 60% stock and 40% bond allocation. Now, Betterment said they did 40% stock, 60% bond. I flip-flop those, and it really just comes down to simplicity. I'm a big Vanguard fan, and they have one of their Vanguard index funds that's 60% stock, 40% bonds at an incredibly, incredibly low expense ratio. So it's just a keep it simple, silly attitude for me, where I can put money in there, it rebalances, and it's about the cheapest way I can invest in the stock and bond market. Now, I'm comfortable with a higher stock allocation than what Betterment said, because I've got 6 months of cash in my savings account, so I'm happy to be a little bit more aggressive in my second tier of my emergency fund. And like I said, this year I opened up an HSA, which I maxed out, and I plan on maxing out next year as well. So I'm looking at my HSA as another account in my emergency fund. I mean, because as I said earlier, a lot of the emergencies out there are medically related. So great, I can have hopefully a bunch of cash in there needed, you know, if I need it for medical expenses. And worst case scenario, if I have to pull that money, if I go through my savings, I go through my Roth, I just have to pull that money out for something, I can pull it out and, you know, pay the penalty on there, but still have more cash on hand. All right, so that's it really for my investing and financial goals for the year. And I did actually reference my mother-in-law house hacking as a way we are saving money, which is allowing us to buy more rental property quicker. And as I'm recording this, our mother-in-law suite, it's all finished. Well, all finished except for two final punch list items. My mother-in-law is waiting to get the shutters installed. It's just there was an issue with the measurements, and they take a while. So that's just we're waiting for them to get installed. And then one of the cabinet door hinges has to be replaced, and they're coming out should be next week to replace it. So very small items. It's essentially done. About the week before Christmas, we started moving her stuff down there. She started living down there, and it's completely remodeled and ready to go. So what we did was we took our unfinished, or I should say we took our walkout basement, which was partially finished, nothing fancy, but just a big, you know, big giant game room, theater room is what had been used before, I believe. So we added a master bedroom down there. We moved the bathroom, made it into, you know, really nice, like, master bath. And we added a full kitchen down there as well with, I don't know the exact measurement, but tons of countertop, lots of counter space, and all the appliances, so it's a full kitchen. So I'm estimating we're saving between $2,000 and $2,500 a month in daycare and also just shared living expenses. So far, that setup is working out really, really well for us. We're still moving boxes. We're still getting unpacked. But I'm really happy we went forward and did it because I think it's the best thing for my family. And it's the best solution I could come up with my living situation on reducing our living expenses. So it's some form of house hacking so we can put more money aside for investing. So if anyone out there is considering it or you have not thought about it, I would definitely consider it because it's been a win-win-win for us. That's for me, my daughter, my mother-in-law. It's a win all around. So I do have plans to do a podcast in the future with the project manager and designer that we hired to build it out for us. She'll come on there. We'll discuss all the details, what we did, and actually go over expenses and try to give you a really good breakdown as to what we did to build out that mother-in-law suite. All right, so moving on to some business goals. And like last year, I debated on whether I should share these or not, but I decided to because, hey, the more I share them, the better it is for me personally. And also because my business goal of building out my realtor business is such an important part of me going out there investing. And I know a lot of people out there listening to this podcast are realtors as well. I figured I would share my goals because I think it can help out myself and a lot of other people as well. So as I've said numerous times over the last couple of years, I became a realtor because it was the fastest way for me to leverage my current skill set to start a new business and then to fuel my real estate investing. And I still have my same three primary objectives. And they are not in any particular order, but these are the three objectives. One is networking. Relationships matter. Relationships lead to deals. They lead to more business. And they lead to handling problems when they come up. And since I'm looking at my investing from a 30, 40, 50-year view and, you know, until I die, networking is going to be very important to make sure all my investments and acquiring those investments go well. The second thing is just constant learning. I consider myself a student for life. I can always learn something from everyone I go out there and meet. So I can't be an expert in everything. I don't think anyone can be. I can be an expert in a couple of fields, but then I want to learn from the experts so my knowledge increases, but then also know what experts to call when I need help with that information. And third is just cash flow. I needed to replace my previous business's income. So three things: networking, learning, and cash flow. So those three things mine for 2018. It's been a good year, and I'm really excited about how 2019 will play out as well with those three things in mind because that's good for my business and that's good for my investing. So a big part of the goals or a big part of accomplishing those things have been the website, denverinvestmentrealestate.com. Now, it's actually gained a lot more traction both locally and nationally than I expected over the last year. I've actually had a couple of brokers and real estate investing clubs outside of Denver, outside of Colorado, reach out to me asking me if they can hire me to duplicate the website or duplicate what I've done and build it locally for them. So I love the idea. I thought about it a lot because I see a great opportunity there, but I'm not pursuing that at the moment just because it's going to take a lot to scale. I mean, that is a whole other business, scaling out, you know, new staff members, new things. or, you know, new areas I'd have to figure out. And also it would just require a lot of traveling. So I don't want to scale it out because I'm afraid I get spread too thin between trying to do that and just staying on my A game here in Denver. And staying on my A game here in Denver is the top priority. But also just from a practical and personal standpoint, the thought of having to start traveling again for work, I just don't want to. I did that in my 20s when I was single. I loved it because it just fit my lifestyle then. But now I just want to stay at home with my family, with my wife, with my daughter, with my dogs. And I really have no desire to travel for work. Now, if it's for, you know, vacation, that's a different thing. But for work, I don't want to. And I'm just going to stay completely focused on here in Denver because I'm having fun. It's, you know, it's not only good for business, but I'm making a lot of friends from the people I meet, which I really enjoy. So I'm staying completely focused. But I will say, you know, it's always nice to be in demand and have a plan B or plan B or plan B or plan C if needed. But I don't think so. But I take all that feedback as saying that we're doing a couple of things right, and that is just 100% confirmation for me and Charles to stay focused and keep, you know, doubling down on our strengths and what we're doing at DenverInvestmentRealEstate.com. So I shared that with you to set up what kind of my big push for what I want to do with the website in 2019 is, and that is to create collaborative partnerships. So what is a collaborative partnership? Well, don't Google it because I don't think anything will come up for it, but it's a term I came up with when I was just trying to describe this. And what it is, it's playing off of my strengths and getting other experts around the Denver real estate community to bring their expertise and bring their knowledge to the online world. So I consider this a win-win-win-win. So that's four wins scenario. So for myself, for the expert, for my clients, and for all the people that visit the website and listen to the podcast. So that's everyone wins with these collaborative partnerships. And I'm especially excited because it's going to just continue to increase my knowledge level and also increase my network, which, I, as I said before, that's good for me and that's good for my clients. So giving you some specific examples of collaborative partnerships, it's taking the resources that we've built here, the strengths I have in marketing, and a lot of the equipment and connections I've built around Denver. So it's to collaborate on those strengths with experts around Denver and highlight what they're doing and put it in the online format. So here's a couple of ideas that are currently in the works, and I think will follow through, actually will come to fruition in 2019. They may or may not, and there'll be some other ones on there as well, but this is just to give you some context on there. So the first one is the Denver Real Estate Investing Ride-Along Show. So this is going to be an IGTV, and IG is Instagram, so Instagram TV show. They'll publish to IGTV and YouTube, and I'll be working with Terrence Doyle on here. Now, Terrence was on the podcast where we talked about the Opportunity Zone a couple months ago, and Terrence and his business partner, Brandon, they're doing some cool things around Denver. So, I mean, they're investing in the Opportunity Zone. They're now repositioning small apartment buildings. So they're basically buying apartment buildings and then fixing them up and renting them out. And these are like 15 to 30 unit apartment buildings. So they're doing some really cool stuff. So the plan here is that once a month, we'll bring a guest along to explore various projects that he is working on around Denver, and we'll talk shop. So, and we're going professional. We've got a professional videographer, and we've got a professional editor helping out with us. So we should hopefully be able to produce a really great, you know, basically like 20-minute or so long show, post it to IG, post it to YouTube, and that way people can just look over our shoulder and hang out with us as we go out there and look at properties. So we've recorded two so far. They're currently getting edited, and the first one should be out in January. So I'm really excited about it, and I think as, you know, I know as we keep doing more and more episodes, we'll get better and we'll get the format down. So make sure and look out for that. We'll be publishing that over Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and also the email list. Another collaborative partnership is working with James Orr on his phenomenal real estate financial planning software. That's the realestatefinancialplanner.com. So we did this, a three webinar series using that software called Building a 10 Property Portfolio. And James is getting really close to having that software in a, out of a testing stage into a final stage. He'll always be working on it, but into a final product. And so I'll get to collaborate with James on using that software to just run a lot of different scenarios. So the plan there is just to use the software and run as many scenarios as we can. I mean, for my own investing, for clients investing, but also all these what if questions that come up all the time. Well, what if I put this percent down? What if I save this amount of money? Well, hey, should I invest in Denver or should I invest in out of state? We can get some data and we can compare. We can model it. Oh, and then we can compare house hacking to this and that. So I'm just very excited about it. And we'll be doing a lot more collaboration with James and his real estate financial planning software as well. And if you guys did not watch those webinars, click on the link in the show notes and make sure you go watch it because it is some really cool and really unique software. All right, so another collaborative partnership is diving deep into ADUs or accessory dwelling units. So a lot of you guys out there know what ADUs are. They can be great for investing and they can be wonderful for house hacking. However, between zoning, the limited inventory, and finding general contractors who can build them, because it's a whole different permitting process, things can get complex. But just through networking, I've met a group of professionals that are in the process of streamlining the ADU building process. And so I think we can do some neat collaboration to take what they're figuring out and put that information online through podcasts, webinars, and videos, and actually hopefully walking some ADU properties as well to talk about the ADUs, because I'm really interested in that and I want to learn more and hopefully learn from these guys, help them get the process streamlined, because that's going to be just another great investing avenue. All right, the last collaborative partnership I'll share with you is partnering up with Peter McFarlane, who is a tax attorney here in Denver. We've done a couple webinars with him, but we've actually talked about putting together a curriculum, so a basic curriculum of resources for tax planning and entity creation. So whenever we do a webinar with Peter around taxes or entities, they're always among our most popular webinars and podcasts of all the content we publish. And I get it. I want to know about, you know, what's going on with taxes, and everyone else does out there as well, especially with the changes from the 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act from last year. I don't know the details of that yet, and I know most of you guys don't either, so we'll be talking a lot about that with Peter. But the loose plan here is to put together a basic curriculum, so just a series of webinars, so like 101, 201, 301 on taxes and entity creation for real estate investing. That way, we can go there, you can go there, clients can go out there and just view the basics on what it takes for tax planning and entity creation, and we'll do some more advanced ones down the road as well. All right, so those are just the four that I've got more in the works, but these are the four that I'm most bullish on that are most likely to start happening in 2019. So hopefully that gives you the idea. So hopefully we'll see all four of those, and hopefully we'll see a few more as well out there for 2019. Now, if you're listening to this and you got ideas or you got an idea for doing a collaborative partnership with me, please reach out. I'm always open for grabbing a cup of coffee and discussing ideas. All right, so kind of the last part of my goals for 2019 are just some general goals that I'll share. Now, I'm not going to share all my personal goals, but I did want to share a few just general goals that are relevant to investing and building a business. So like most people, I want to get more productive. I want to grow my business. I want to grow my income. I want to grow my investments and have a better work-life balance. So it's it's always a moving target, but it's always a goal I'm working towards. So I can't create more hours each day. I wish I could, but I can't. So I need to improve on my own activities. So I outlined a few things that I think will give me the biggest return that I'll focus on this year. So the first one is actually doing some accountability with Joe Massey. Joe and I talked about this a while ago, and I brought it, and then we were both busy, nothing came up of it. Then I brought it up again with Joe a few weeks ago on just doing some accountability with each other, and thankfully he was all for it. And what an accountability partnership is just where, you know, two people or a small group of people don't have to necessarily be in the same industry, but just, you know, similar personalities, I should say, where they work together and share accountability, you know, what they want to do for the week, what they want to do for the month, and hold each other accountable. So it's not going to be anything fancy or formal, but it'll just be, hey, we each have our own metrics that we want to achieve, everything from fitness and workout goals to investing in business goals, that we will either get together really briefly each week or probably just do a quick email recap and share with, hey, here are the activities or here are the goals I hit for the week, here's why I did not, and just share it to hold each other accountable. Because I always plan my weeks out, but I don't, you know, oftentimes I don't hit my goals for that week or all the tasks I put on there. So the idea here is if you share that with someone else, you're more likely to achieve them because you don't want to be the slacker and say, oh yeah, well, you know, I didn't achieve anything or I achieved 40% of my goals. So I've done this in the past with my previous businesses, and they were tremendously helpful to me in my business and my personal life. So I think working, or I shouldn't say I think, I know partnering up with Joe on this will help me out a whole lot, and hopefully I can help out Joe as well. So I haven't outlined my core money-making activities every week yet. I mean, I've got a loose idea of them, but I actually want to outline, hey, here are the must-have things I got to get done every single week. So once I get those out there, I'll probably publish them on the website just so other people can get ideas. I got to think about that, but I think I'll publish them. Anyway, Joe and I are meeting a week from when I record this podcast, so I'll definitely have my activities outlined by then. We're having our first meeting, kind of just set up the structure, so I'll keep you guys up to date on there. But if you're looking to take your goals to the next level, I would highly consider getting an accountability partner because they've done wonders for me. So another goal is just having better focus and being more organized. And this is a very loose goal because there's so many layers to it. It's like an onion. You can peel back one layer and there's 100 more layers on there. But it's a moving target. It's something I always have. But I want to get better focused and I want to get better organized. And I feel like every year it gets harder and harder to do. And, you know, I will definitely take some blame for it, but I feel like it's just, you know, the natural progression of things with the latest iPhone and then Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, there's just so much stuff to grab our attention all the time. You can obsessively check your email and check Facebook every 30 seconds. And it makes it really hard to focus. So a couple of things I'll be committing to this year to getting better focused, and which I think will lead to being more productive, having a better balance, and being more organized, and really just being able to focus more at that task on hand, which is what I really want to get back. So here's what I'll start doing this year. I will no longer sleep with my iPhone in the bedroom. I'll leave it downstairs in the office plugged in because it's just too hard to pick up that iPhone and then all of a sudden 30 minutes go by and you just waste time on there. I don't have to explain that to you guys. I'm in the process of revamping my organizational system, and this has to do with my personal stuff, but also just my business stuff. The last, you know, year has been a great growth year, and I've got a lot of things figured out, but now I need to systematize that. And I've gone through about 3 different project management systems that I can use with my team to figure out, you know, streamlining projects, everything from content creation to tracking properties to tracking what we have under contract, just getting everything more organized. So I'm currently revamping everything, and that, you know, I wish I could do it in a weekend, but honestly, I know it takes months to do. So I've got a good chunk of it done, but I'm in the process of revamping that more. And that'll keep me better organized. It'll have less things slip through the cracks. So there's less of the, oh crap, what do I have to do today to make sure I get this done? So another thing I want to do is revamp how I handle and how often I check my emails. you know, I don't really think I need to check email 48 times a day or whatever I end up doing from just checking my iPhone all the time. So get back into having stricter, you know, times to check emails 3, 4, 5 times a day, and then getting a better inbox management. Because years ago, I actually had a zero email inbox rule. So meaning I had zero emails in my inbox when I sat down to check it. And oh, it felt so good. So I want to get back to that of actually having really strict inbox rules, because that was helping me get better organized. And of course, the accountability partnership with Joe is going to help me out. Will help me out a lot too with staying organized, because that will force me to track what I'm doing and what I'm not doing very well. So that will feed into it. And the last thing I'll be doing is actually, I'm going to start meditating again. I shouldn't say start. I briefly meditated, and I'm probably 8, 10, 12 years ago, just for a couple minutes each day. I got into it. My friends did some meditation. So I thought, what the heck? I'll go try to see what it's like. I actually really enjoyed it. It did help me clear my mind, stay more focused, and reduce stress. And it seems like meditating is, I see it happen all over the place now, from, you know, people in Silicon Valley talk about it, to people on Wall Street talk about it. So I see all these headlines and different podcasts I listen to talk about all these different people meditating. And I'm like, yeah, I used to do that. I should get back into it. So I'm getting back into it right now. I actually started meditating yesterday. I'm definitely not going for perfection. I'm going for creating the habit first and then getting better at meditating. So based on some podcast I listened to, I downloaded an app called Waking Up. So W-A-K-I-N-G Up, U-P, Waking Up by Sam Harris. A few people referenced him, and he just has these daily meditations that are, so far, they're like 8 to 15 minutes long. So I like it because it's short, and I can literally just pull up the app, hit play, and it starts playing, so it keeps it really simple for me. And I'm just doing that to get back in the groove. So I'm sharing that to publicly state that I'm doing it, to force myself to keep doing it. So if someone asks me in 2 months, hey, Chris, how's your meditating going on? I don't want to be lame and say, yeah, I did that for 3 days and I quit. I'm going to be like, yeah, you know what? I've done it like 90% of the days. It's going really well. But also, if anyone else out there meditates or has a good app or a good program, man, I am all ears. Email me. I'll buy a cup of coffee and tell me what you're up to, because I want to get better at that skill. All right, so the last thing, and this is just a general mantra of mine, but I always like to end on one of these core principles just to keep me focused and also share, because I always enjoy talking to people about this. And that is my philosophy of working harder to then work smarter to then work harder and then work smarter, and repeat, repeat, repeat. So basically, it's this closed loop. I'm sure you guys have seen the debate or the headlines of don't work harder, work smarter. I don't agree with that. I agree with working harder, and then through working harder, that leads to results. That leads to data. That leads to opportunities to improve. And then once you have all that, through hitting my head against the wall 10 times a week, and then I can say, oh, okay, now I can work smarter, so that I can cut out some things, get some other things either off my plate or outsource them or get more efficient. And then great, I can work smarter, which frees up time, frees up mental energy, and then allows me to work harder again. And then as I work harder, I can then improve and work smarter. So like I said, I'm just saying this. It's just always an ongoing goal of mine throughout the years. But I decided to highlight this because I talk to people all the time that are talking about working smarter, and I'm more on the spectrum of working harder. So take that for what it's worth. If you guys want to debate it, great. Let's grab a cup of coffee, grab a beer, debate it. But my plans for 2019 is to do what I've said above, or the last half an hour, plus a lot more, and just to work harder, work harder, work harder, then a little bit smarter, then work harder, work harder, work harder. And that is my recipe. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. And if you guys want to talk about your goals or your strategies, reach out to me. I do enjoy talking about them. If you want to publish it in the book we're doing, definitely reach out to me as well. I'll be happy to forward you over the details. So again, that is Chris at DenverInvestmentRealEstate.com. Send me an email. I'll send you the details. And also look in the show notes for the links I talked about and links to this investing strategy. All right. Well, I hope 2019 is a great year for you.